is, who am I, who's on the line there? Claire. Claire is coming on. Is Claire there? Claire, good afternoon. Hello, Claire.
Joe.
Yeah, go ahead, Claire.
I'm phoning you about a smoking issue after the programme was highlighting it yesterday.
Yeah.
And I live... I live in a house, and in the house next door, terraced house, the tenants are smoking. Now, it's a rented house, and I contacted the landlord and the letting agent, and the landlord explained that, yes, there was a letting agreement, tenancy agreement, and there was no smoking inside the house.
Right.
However, the tenant continued to smoke, and when I spoke to him and the letting agent, they said that it was all right. Mm-hmm. And then the tenant said he doesn't smoke inside the house. But I have really great difficulties because I have serious health issues.
Yeah.
I'm on the kidney transplant list for a kidney.
Okay.
I've been on dialysis for 3 years, and I'm very seriously worried because the smoking, secondhand smoking, which is seeping through the walls of my house, is seriously impacting my health, and I may not be able to have a transplant.
Because you have to be free of infections and colds and flu.
Absolutely.
And everything.
Absolutely,
yeah.
And my lungs are contaminated, and I have chest pains. And I've spoken to my kidney consultant, and he has sent a letter to the owner and the letting agent. And
but Claire, they must be smoking an awful lot if you say it's you can smell it from next door.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll give you an example. Last night, he started to smoke about 7 o'clock, midnight, smoking. So the whole evening he was smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning he started again at 5 o'clock. And the walls are so thin, poor insulation, house built in.
But Claire, if he stood outside smoking, would that...
I wouldn't mind that at all.
Well, would that not be closer to your front door? Is there a guard? Have you a garden? Is he a gardener? What separates you?
Yes, we have a garden in common. But that wouldn't be the same thing as this smoking seeping through the walls. You know, and there's a back garden as well, and that would be all right too, because that's what the owner said they must do.
And do you think there's just one person smoking?
Yes, and when they moved in, I spoke to his friend, and I just saw him in the front garden, and I said, after a nice chat, I said at the end, and who's the smoker in the house? And he said, oh, it's my friend. And then, unfortunately, the young man said, it's your word against his. And I'm very upset about that. So I wrote to Michael, and Michael confirmed that in the tenancy agreement, no smoking inside the house. And now the kid, well, he's a young man in his mid-20s, he is denying he smokes at all.
Okay, and have you said it to anyone that would know about insulation? Is it common for cigarette smoke to seep through? I know you say it's an old house and no insulation. Is it common for...
It is, Joe. There's an article written in the Irish Times the 27th of February of this year when a couple contacted this man who has a column in the Irish Times to answer property queries. And his name is Mr. Larkin. So they wrote to him and said they have an old house and it's got the same issue of people smoking next door. So the reply was, well, you're going to have to do building work to stop the smoke from coming in through cracks, vents, you know. And so I said this to my kidney consultant in St. Vincent's Hospital, and he said, well, look, that's not going to work because if the builders don't insulate every last bit, maybe 10% will still let in the smoke. And first of all, I am an old age pensioner and I wouldn't be able to afford that. even to get a building surveyor out would be €500 to check the property. Yeah.
And have you communicated, or your medics communicated to the tenant directly?
We have sent a letter to the owner and the letting agent, and I have verbally told the tenants my health situation. And they see me, you know, coming in and out by taxi from the hospital after my dialysis treatment. They're okay. Very aware.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you've been on the way. Have you got any, I know unfortunately at times it could be false alarms, or with the best will in the world, do you know where you are on the list, Claire? For
well,
a transplant.
Joe, nobody knows
Okay.
It depends on what comes up when their two kidneys match. So it's a very stressful time for me, wondering, will I get a kidney without having this added stress? And I was so stressed out in July that actually I collapsed in Black Rock. And, I collapsed anyway when I was in Dublin and shopping there. And I was taken into Vincent's for tests.
Right.
Yeah. Basically, Joe, I'm phoning you for a solution, not only to complain about. I want to know, do you or the public have a solution as to how to solve this?
Okay, but Claire, have you ever got other smells in the house? If you're on a terrace, I presume there's a house on either side.
Well, that's a very good question, Joe. There are two other houses in our estate, and both people have complained in the past about smells coming from the neighbours next door, and in each case it was cooking smells.
Mm. Okay, so you do get the...
Yeah. And in one of the houses, the owners got the letting agent for the house next door to come out, and they came out three times, and nothing's been done. So this young couple are living there with two children and finding it very, very hard to have these smells coming into their house next door.
Okay. Well, as you say, you want a solution, and it sounds like you need a solution for your own
really
health.
I really do. Absolutely, Joe. And you see, the thing is, I get on very well with the owner. He's abroad, and got on very, very well with them. And I'm so disappointed that he doesn't believe me, because I wouldn't make an issue of
something. But your doctor has written as well to him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Let me thanks indeed, Claire. And if we get any information or any ideas, more importantly, we let you know. Thanks,
yes,
Claire, and best
thank
of luck.
Thank you so much.
Best of luck on your transplant challenge.
You're very kind.
Thanks,
yes,
Claire.
It is, Joe. Thank you so much.
And someone's coming through. But Claire, while you're still there, you're living alone, from what you tell me.
Well, I didn't say that, but I have someone in the house.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
But I say you can get assistance fairly quickly, I presume, with one of those buttons or whatever. In other words,
I have a panic button.
Yeah, great. I'm just wondering, is there anyone else that could? You've enough to be doing, and enough of your health burden. Is there anyone else that can knock on his door for you?
Well, a young friend and I did go around a few weeks ago, and he continued with the same thing, saying he didn't smoke and all this. So I said, look, I said, you really are being untruthful. And I just had to walk away. I was so stressed. So this young girl, she continued talking to him and just couldn't get any sense into him.
Okay.
And she's the same age group. That's why we thought
it
she
work.
Spoke to him. Yeah, mid-20s.
Okay, let me bring Claire in. Claire, good afternoon. Hello, Claire.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, Aisling. Claire is there. Aisling, sorry. I've no screen at the moment. I don't know. Aisling, come in, please.
Hi, just a quick call. I was thinking it was highly unlikely that smoke was coming through her walls.
Okay.
I think what her neighbour is doing is smoking outside the house and it's coming in through her vents. Did she block up her vents?
I beg your pardon, Aisling. Thank you for that idea. We've already blocked up the vents. Okay. Still coming through. It's coming through the party walls. There is so much information on the internet, Google, people complaining about secondhand smoke, and particularly just read the letter on Google of the 27th of February of this year on a Thursday sent to the Irish Times about this same issue.
Okay, okay. And Aisling, did you experience a similar issue?
Yeah, but it stopped once I blocked up the vents.
Okay, was it not dangerous to block up vents? Have you gas in the house?
No, there's a vent, you can close it and open it. So if you smell something coming in, you can just close it and then open it up again at my urging, you know. Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Right.
Thanks, Aisling. Thanks, Claire. 51551 Joe at rt.ie. Thanks.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
I want to go back to smoking for a sec. Thanks, Mike. That's Mike Kennedy. Anne, this issue that Claire said she is tormented by smoke coming in from the house next door. You're in an apartment and the man below you is a chain smoker. How do you know?
Hi, Joe. I live in the apartment over the man and his bedroom is under mine, like the lower apartment. Mm-hmm. And when I go to bed at night, like when he decides to have a cigarette, I can smell the smoke coming through my vent in my sitting room, but in the bedroom especially. When I go to bed and I want to go to sleep, okay. It comes through the plug holes and through the electrical ventilation, because the electrical ventilation brings air from outside in and through different apartments.
Okay, I take that point. Have you tried to stop it, Anne, or tried to check?
I've done everything. Done everything in my power to try and get help.
And what you're told, the council tell you he's entitled to smoke in his own home.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I said I agree, like he's entitled to smoke, but not to affect me. Like I have asthma, and I'm coughing continuously from his cigarette smoke, so it's affecting me big time.
That's right.
I live with the windows open, winter and summer.
To try and get the air in, okay.
Like it's great now when it's hot, but what am I going to do, like in the winter when it gets cold?
Okay. I don't know. Okay, Anne, it's an interesting, you're allowed to smoke in your own house, but what if it's affecting your neighbour? Okay, Anne, thanks indeed. Today's programme was produced by Fergus, who was also our series producer. And that was music from some other programme coming in, telling me to get off the air. And Ray Darcy is next.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe at rte.ie.
Joe at rt.ie. Now, yesterday you heard some very distressing stories, and I gave a warning about people and the effects of smoking over a number of years had on them. And it'll become obvious when I talk to James McGovern, of the effects that smoking has had on him. James, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And when did you have your larynx removed?
Thirty years ago, yeah.
And why?
I was a very heavy smoker, Joe. I was smoking any between 50 and 60 cigarettes a day. And with that badly addicted to it, that if I smoked the last cigarette going to bed, I couldn't go to sleep thinking what I was going to do the next morning.
So,
and then I got cancer in the throat, and I went into St. Luke's in Dublin. I was there for 6 weeks and got treatment. But unfortunately, after 18 months, I came back again, and at that stage, there was nothing for it, only an operation with it about my larynx.
So, how are you speaking now, James?
I speak with an artificial larynx. It's a wee machine, Joe, that operates on batteries.
So you're speaking, you have an artificial larynx?
Yeah, it's a little machine, actually, that is used with batteries.
And where is that now? Where is it?
I have it up to my throat at the moment. I just hold it in my hand when I'm talking. I have to hold it in my hand up to my throat. And whatever tissues are left on the side of my throat, it is able to take the sound from there.
Okay, so that machine you have, which you press against your throat,
yes.
And obviously you have the phone up to it now,
yes.
that translates the vibrations in whatever is left of your larynx into the speech we're now hearing.
Exactly, Joe.
And how long were you smoking, James?
I was smoking for over 30 years. I was 53 when I had the operation.
And what age were you when you started smoking?
I was about 19.
So 53, 19, so that's 34 years. And and what did you smoke?
I smoked Sweet Afton.
Sweet Afton. And will you remind people, I don't think Sweet Afton's on the market. Slow Gently, Sweet Afton. A beautiful name for coffin nails. But tell us about Sweet Afton. They were very strong cigarettes, were they not?
They were probably what you say at that time that I started to smoke, Joe. There were no dips. There was no such thing as a dip cigarette when I started to smoke.
And is it... And how long did it take after your larynx was removed because of the cancer of the throat caused by the smoking, James? How long did it take for you to be able to speak this way?
Well, I had it in November and I didn't get this machine until March. So I was for 3 months writing everything down. And the problem is you were having a conversation with somebody and by the time you had it written down, that had gone to something else. So it was very frustrating.
And it's fascinating. One, that you still have your accent, have you? It's there somewhere.
They tell me that, all right. I live along the border here, actually. Yeah, down in West Gavin.
You definitely still have your accent. And when you're in company or with your family, James, I can hear you now because you have the speaker of the phone up to that voice box, which is outside your body, effectively. Can people hear you from a distance?
Oh, well, not too bad, Joe, but if they're ever in a crowd or at a wedding or any of that, I just can't talk because they can't, you know, with any background noise.
Okay.
They can't hear me, really. Yeah,
Now, the removal of your larynx, your voice is gone, but modern technology, as we hear, is helping. What are the other effects of having your larynx?
Well, I tell you, Joe, I lost my smell. I have no smell anymore.
Your sense of smell is gone.
And I was very fond of swimming, and I can't swim anymore because with the opening in my throat, the stoma, if I went into the water, I drowned immediately, and it was right down on my lungs.
Yeah. So do you have to be careful in the shower? And
Yeah, I have a special bib I put on by the shower.
Special bib you put on?
Yeah.
Okay. And James, before you discovered you had throat cancer, had you tried to give up smoking before that?
No, not at all, Joe. It never dawned on me at the time, you see, that it was doing any harm. The only thing I did remark, all right, I used to lose my voice.
You see, lose your voice.
At times, and then I didn't think of drink of water and everything was grand again.
And did you give up smoking immediately, you really?
Immediately, Joe, immediately. I was blessed in the sense that I had lost my smell. You know, so that didn't bother me at least, you know.
Oh, okay, I understand that, yeah. But you know how difficult it is to give up cigarettes. They're such a...
There's no doubt about it, yeah. And as I say, it's a warning, but that's why I'm ringing in, is to let young people know the dangers, you know, of the smoking.
And your larynx is gone 30 years at this stage.
30 years now, yeah.
And you're 83.
I'm 83. I'll be 84 now in December. And at this stage of my life, I recommend the Barter Lounge, Joe.
Say again, James, sorry?
I reckon at this stage of my life, I'm in the Barter Lounge.
No, you're not. The Departure Lounge, you're not. But I'm saying you smoked for 34 years.
Yes.
We started at 19. You're now 30 years off them.
That's right.
So you will definitely get to the 34 years. You'd be longer off them than you were on them, which would be great.
Yeah.
And how's your health apart from that, James?
Very, very good, Joe. Very good.
And can you... Good, man. And what about eating and drinking?
Well, unfortunately, now the swallowing isn't great. I kind of stay away from eating meat or the like of that because I've got a problem enough swallowing.
But you
were...
Yeah, swallowing. But you At 53, were you walking? Like, you're still at the... still relatively young when you lost
your... Oh, yeah, yeah. We got in on a business, actually. Yeah, yeah.
And were you able to keep walking? Obviously.
I was, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Again, James, stay there. This is a fascinating story. Now, when I said earlier, I want people to be aware there's graphic content, it's in the next call. Just if it's just a description of what happened to people in the...
While I open the lesson to younger people who are smoking.
Yeah, you hope you're a lesson. Okay, let me bring Mick in. Mick, good afternoon. You listen to James. You smoked heavily as well.
I did, Joe, yeah. For most of my life, as from a young teenager, you know. And, yeah, I was a smoker up until about 9-10 years ago.
Yeah. And what did you, you witnessed one scene which prompted you to give up the cigarettes?
Well, I had a problem with alcohol at the time, a serious problem most of my life, but I was in a rehab up in Armagh.
Okay.
And while I was there getting help, I decided and asked myself, sure, the best place to give up smoking is here, because I found it nearly impossible to give them up, you know.
Mm.
And so I stopped, and I was struggling for the first week, but I was getting encouragement. But one day on a Saturday, I think it was, there was an open day and people were coming, and I was sitting at a table with other people, and there was one gentleman there, and he had a plaster on his throat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a flap, and he was coughing and wiping it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he looked very ill.
Yeah.
But what he did next was horrific, I thought. You know, he took out a packet of cigarettes, and he lit one, and he broke the tip off, and he tidied it up.
Yeah.
And he lifted the flap, and he was smoking it through the hole in his neck, sucking on it.
No.
And
no.
I thought it was horrendous, really, Joe.
No.
And it was kind of real opener for me.
And you said to yourself, oh my God, that's the end of it for me.
Well, that's the end of it for me, yeah.
Smoking, yeah.
But it was absolutely horrendous, yeah. But, couldn't get off them for years. I was afraid that I might end up in hospital with emphysema.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they just had to go, Joe. And the best place for me when I was in that centre was to give her a go there, stop, and that was 10 years ago or so. And
did you get talking to that man, by the way?
I can't remember whether I talked to him or not, Joe. He was with somebody else.
I understand that, and I think, as I said, yes, I think more should be done to help people get off the cigarettes, because the state made enough money out of them for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And anyway, but you didn't talk to him afterwards?
I don't think so, Joe. Okay. I was just sitting there at the table.
I was looking at one of the calls this morning, and the phrase was, I read it out earlier, I would rather die than give up cigarettes.
Yeah.
Now, if you're putting a cigarette into a hole in your neck that's been caused by a cancer, that's been caused by cigarettes, and you use a hole in your neck to actually inhale a cigarette, that is some desperation.
Yeah, yeah. I heard somebody talking yesterday on your show there that it's nearly as difficult, it's harder to give up cigarettes than heroin. You know, it's really difficult, you know, and usually in addictions, cigarettes is the last to go. That's if they go at all. It's really difficult. The nicotine is so powerful.
Okay, it really is.
Sometimes
deliberately powerful.
See the damage.
Yeah, that's why the cigarette. I don't know anyone at this day. I know people. There is a demand for them, and they're taxed, so therefore they're for sale openly. But in terms of producing cigarettes and making cigarettes, I don't know how they sleep at night.
Yeah,
knowing the effect.
It's business, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's business, okay. But I tell you, I just give God all the praise. I'm a Christian man now, and I just give him the praise that I'm free from it.
Okay, well done.
Absolutely free, you know.
Well done, Mick. Okay, so, Mick, thanks indeed. James McGovern, James, kind regards. And please God.
I hope the younger generation gets the message.
Yeah, so do I. So do I. Okay, James, thanks indeed. That's James McGovern, who lost his larynx, his voice box, through cancer of the throat caused by cigarettes. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.